Did that help anybody? See, you don't see. Don't let the devil talk you out of what God already made you. You're gonna keep everything you got, but you're not gonna be the thing no more. You're gonna let him be the thing. But when he becomes the thing, he moves the bar. All right. So he make room for your promotion. Yeah. Because now you still here, but he's up here, and he's gonna say, come. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, glory. The Spirit of God is so awesome in our lives that he wants to make us who he already ordained for us to be. Don't live less than who God said you're supposed to be. So now he must increase and I must decrease. I'm in a new place. I'm in a new thing. I'm in a new... So I got to decrease. I got to let him become the man now so he can increase me again. But I get to keep everything I got. All my titles, all my... I get to keep that, but I'm going to go further, not just forward. Y'all going to help me this morning. I like them, that tambourine, that brought something out of me. Play that again, Sam. Yeah, yeah, I want to be 21st century, amen. Are you ready for the word? We right on time. Let's just go before the Lord. Let's stand to our feet, amen. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. You know, I want to say also I'm grateful to God that he allowed my, came back and I brought my son and my granddaughters, my grandchildren with me, my new daughter-in-law, amen. Come on, give them a hand of praise. Phil, y'all raise your hand, Megan. God is enlarging my territory, amen, by allowing me to grow up with my children. Come on, somebody. So I'm loving him for that. That's an increase. Because there'll be a season they gone. There'll be a season I want them gone. Yeah, yeah, yes. So let's enjoy the season we got. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Y'all didn't know I was going to tell the truth, did you? That don't mean I don't love them. That just means it's time to go. Are you ready? Let's all do in unison, amen. Matthew chapter 13, and let's begin at verse 1. And we're going to read to verse 9 and begin. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. So when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And some fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. Excuse me. Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we bless you and we thank you for the grace of your revelation. And now, God, I ask that you would bless the hearers, but most assuredly bless the doers. Father, may I be, Father God, meet in the Master's hand to be used to advance your kingdom and your cause in Jesus' wonderful name. And we all said amen.
Amen.
And amen. You may have your seat in the presence of our Lord. This morning, we're going to pick back up on where we were teaching in regards to paying attention. But today I want to add a little bit to that in terms of this second installment. Paying attention is the ability to do. Paying attention is the ability to do. And you'll understand my reason of thought there, because once we come to understand the ability of God in our lives based upon our maturity, you would be able to do some things. The reason why some people are not able to do is because their lack of understanding of their own maturity. Amen? And because of that, we can't do it, because you can't skip the steps. God will not allow you to violate the order of God just because you have a desire. Amen? Some people are going through some things unnecessarily because they still want to do what they want to do. Amen? So when you don't do what you're supposed to, it's indicative of your maturity, not your capability. Nobody doubt if you're capable of doing it. We want to know, are you mature enough or responsible to do what you're supposed to do? Amen? That's what true maturity is. It has nothing to do with how old you are. It's your ability to follow and respond to instructions as given. Amen? Now, in Matthew chapter 13, look at verse 4, and we'll start here. He says, and when the sower sowed seeds, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Now, here he's talking about that we're going to be dealing with, again, the four types of hearers. And I'm just going to go over them for the sake of those that were not here so that we can make sure that we cover that. Amen. We have the first, you got the perverse, the passive hearers. Now, the passive hearers are those type of listeners who listen to the message, but they don't really pay attention to what's being said. You know, these are the people that can listen. You know, I love multitasking people because that's a good attribute when you're doing work, but it's not good when you're talking because you're not paying no attention to the person that's talking to you when you're doing 3-4 things. Amen? And your response to the person that's talking to them really is indicating to them the level of respect you have for who they are and for what they're saying. You know how we used to tell our kids, boy, did you hear me? Pay attention to what I'm saying. Why? Because they're doing something else while I'm talking, and the chances of them really understanding what I said is very slim, and it shows up in their work. Because they may have got half of it, or when they were consciously considering you, they got in on that portion of what you said, but they missed step 2 and step 3. So when they come to do the work, they doing the phase or the point that they heard. And you ask, well, what happened to the... But you didn't say that. See, I did say that, but you wasn't paying attention. So God said, when we come to church, we got to pay attention. That's why it's not time for you to run around. It's not time for you to be in your... See, the enemy will come, and his assignment is to distract you from when the word is being preached to you. Now, you know how you got the people, and you waited all the time to get to the church. Now you want to talk to me. The preacher is talking, and now you want to talk to me. You want to pass me notes. You want to talk about... You got your phone trying to show me. See, this is not the time. I ain't said I ain't interested. But somebody's already talking. Remember I showed you week before last, the scenario about prayer. Amen. If you're praying and somebody else comes, and see, a lot of people have not really been taught adequate. If you're praying and somebody else is praying, we're really talking. So if somebody else comes beside me and begin to talk while we are talking, then you become a distraction to the conversation that's currently going on. So the practical side of that is, when we are praying, we praying. And while I'm praying, somebody else begins to pray. Elder, stand up, please. Now, I'm going to talk, but I want you to start talking. Now, see, while I'm talking, you know what I'm saying? Now, we're praying, and I'm trying to communicate with God. And now, what do that sound like? Now, that's confusion. And see, we don't, and you know how you be in a group? All right. You're doing too good now. But you know how we in a group, and we can be in a group praying. And nobody, it's not wrong, it's just we've never been taught. One person is leading the prayer. The people on the side don't need to be praying too. Father, save John, and you hold on. But they already talking to the Father, and he's paying attention to them for the immediate setting that you're in. So if the person's over here talking as well, now we got confusion. Come on now. And so God is saying, I just need you to pay attention. So if God is talking this morning, which he is, and I'm going to show you how he's talking, because I don't hear God. God is not talking. Well, I mean, you know, I know I'm lunch meat, but look at here. I stand in the office as a man of God. So I'm the man God talks through for this assembly. So while I'm talking, God is talking. Amen. Amen. Real simple. Now, don't get spiritual because you pass me up because you're looking for God. But God is talking through the designated voice for the assignment, for the hour, and for the body. Amen. So now when the preacher talking, I'm going to respect the preacher like I'm listening to God. That's real. I'm telling y'all, now that's deep. See, that was a revelation that's powerful because, see, so many people are independent livers. They live to live independent of the due order. So they really only looking for God. I'm not even paying attention to you. I'm trying to hear what the Lord's saying. He's talking. What your assignment is to get what the Lord is saying personally as he's speaking publicly. But he's talking now. Amen. So now when I come with reverence to expect and respect the office and the man or the woman of God that's preaching, I'm listening for the voice now. Now the only thing that disqualifies me from preaching or speaking if I don't talk about him. But as long as I keep talking about him, then you need to listen and pay attention because he's talking. Let's qualify that. Because I don't want you to just have nothing, amen? So we got the passive listeners, but then the second one is the perverse listeners. And that's the second one in your course here. It says the perverse listeners are those who like what they hear as long as everything's going good. See, the perverse listeners, these are the ones that allow everything out in the world to distract them and keep them from obeying God, responding to God. Because see, this is good time listeners. But have you, I love the example she used in terms of tithes and offerings, because as you grow, your relationship becomes personal with God. There's a time where God won't even allow you to get nothing from nobody else. Even though I am the ordained man to speak on behalf of God, but if he ever wants to talk, the preacher got to shut up. Because he's talking. And he reserved a relationship with you that he can talk to you without me. But I'm just the designated one he talks through when he wants to communicate to the body. But he's not limited to the preacher. Amen. So this is why I encourage you need to be here on Tuesday night. Look at your neighbor and tell him you need to be here on Tuesday night. Now look at your other neighbor and ask him, where was you at on Tuesday? Because see, listen. This is where we're dealing with, where is your devotion? See, the reason why saints are not growing and not maturing is because saints don't have no devotion. See, they don't have a dedicated time and a dedicated place and a dedicated reserve fellowship, koinonia, with the one they say they're in love with. So now what's happening is you want the Sunday morning to be like your devotion. I'm only here to instruct you. Your devotion is where he directs you and guides you. That's where he talked to you about what me and you ain't even talked about. Because that's my intimacy. That's my personal time. This is where I can go to him and cry out. I can tell him what's on my heart. He can hold me and embrace me. He can speak to me to strengthen me, to give me instructions and directions to lead me. But I don't get all that when I come Sunday morning. So if this is all you getting, then where's your commitment to the one you say you serve? That's like I can be married, but where's my commitment to my wife? I'm not devoted to her. We have no personal time, so there's no devotion, so there's no communion, there's no unity. Amen. We got unity, we got union, we married, but there's no unity. We're not on one accord. We got nothing in common. It's two ships passing in the night. We just happen to dock here. Is this helping anybody? We just dock here at 2813 Willow Beatty Healy Drive. That's just where we dock. But neither one of us live here. Neither one of us is devoted to here. Neither one of us committed to here. We just passing through. So God says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. I'm looking for those that would dwell with me, those that would fellowship with me, those that delight in being with me, so I can talk to them and they can talk to me. And I don't want you with me when all you do is you got this long list of what you want me to do for you. When the last time you told me you're my God? You're the keeper of my life. Like she said, the problem was with them, and I'm a little bit off, but I'm going to get back on. The problem was with them that they didn't know him. They knew his acts, but they didn't know him. So they didn't come to know him and call him Jehovah Jireh until he provided, but he was always there providing. But because you don't know me, you don't know what I'm able and capable or even willing to do for you. You out there looking in the streets, but you never even asked me. And I'm here with you every day. Smile, it's going to get worse. Listen. God is drawing us in. You know, the emptiest feeling we have is separated from God, not from each other. Because we can go and get other people to try to fulfill what me and you got. But there's nobody on earth can fulfill what you and God got. Amen. That's what we miss. That's how we get caught up in self when I misplace my devotion with him. As we said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, he said, "There's one thing I have against you. You lost your first love." What happened? How me and you got it? Not me and the church. Not you and the pastor. What about you and your God? Do you and God got it like that anymore? Or are you in love with the pastor? Are you in love with the church? But I'm just a hired hand. I work for him. I talk about him. So you ain't going to have no fun getting with me if all I'm going to talk about is him, which you didn't want to be with him when you was by yourself. See, the only ones we have fellowship is the ones that like to talk about. Is that all right? So now you got the passive. You got the perverse listener, but then you got the polluted listener. Now, the polluted listener is the one that the word of God, because of your lifestyle, the word of God can't get in. It may even get down, but it can't come back up, meaning you can't live it because of your lifestyle. Because of the things you're doing, the word of God does not affect you, or it does not bless you, or it does not help you. It don't even challenge you because you're not hearing it. You hear it when it's spoken, but you're not living by it. You're not trying to do it. So therefore, your other lifestyle combats this lifestyle. And the one you feed the most is the one you live with. The one you do is the one you get strong in. The Bible says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." But that's only if you in the Lord. But if you're not in the Lord, you're strong in your flesh and the power of his might. So that's why when I get ready to go do God, because I've been eating this other thing, it tells me that God can't help you, God ain't for you, or get over here like I told you. And because it's strong in me, it oversees, supersedes, or take authority over what God said. But I want to do God. But I've been feeding and eating this other stuff. So now when I hear the word of God, it tells me. It tells my soul and my flesh to do what I said versus what God said. And whoever you eating, that's the one got the power to control you. Have you ever had a situation, a circumstance, an area in your life you want to do right? You want to do God, but you can't do God. Because your soul won't let you, because it's so used to doing what we've been doing. And it ain't got nothing to do with, do you go to church, do you love God? What it has everything to do with is who in control of your body, who in control of your soul. And whatever one you feed, that's the one got the power. If you really want to get out of whatever area you're in that you can't get out of, feed that area of the word. And when you begin to feed your area of the word, you renew your strength. So one day you can act on what you eating. And now when it's time to do it the next time, you got a little more strength. But you got to hurry up, because you just got that little new strength. And if you keep bumbling around with that old thing, going to come back on you and zap the new try. So you got to obey quick. Just do it. And you get the credit like you've been doing it for years. And then after I do it and do it and do it, now when the enemy comes to tell me not to do it, I'm strong in the Lord. And the power of his might to tell cigarettes, adultery, pornography, stealing, lack of living, lack of giving, I can tell it no, because I built my strength up. But if I'm not obeying and eating, I don't have the strength to. Even though the Bible said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is, it's in my mind. I hear what pastor said, but my flesh won't. I can't get the strength to lift my arm up. I can't get the strength to get up and leave the house. Her house. His house. I know I ain't supposed to be. It's in my mind, but I ain't got the strength. So this is that third listener, that they let the world and the things that they get into eat the word. And it destroyed the seed that was sown. So it's like you never heard the word. Because if I was to gauge by your conduct, it looks like you haven't heard the word. But that's not my problem, preacher. I heard it, but I don't have enough strength to obey it. But then you got your last one. Now this is the one, and look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Verse 8, it says, but others fell into good ground and brought forth what? See, the whole key of the kingdom is for you to bear fruit. It's for you to do better. It's for you to develop. It's for you to go to your next level. See, when you refuse to grow, you refuse to go. Ain't nobody holding you back. Ain't nobody keeping you back. It's your refusal to comply is what's keeping you back. So he says right here, but others fell on good ground and brought forth some fruit, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now he says, who have ears to hear, let him hear. Now what do you mean, who have ears to hear? You know I got ears, man. What's wrong with you, preacher? No, I'm not talking about your physical ear, because I don't really know what you hearing sitting out there. Some folks think I'm talking crazy. Some people think that, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what you're hearing based on where you living, based on what you're doing. You think I'm trying to take something from you? No, I'm trying to get something to you. Now watch this. Now we already know this, but I just want to put it out. See, the sower is the Lord Jesus Christ working through the person of the Holy Spirit by the pastor's preaching. You got to know that, church. Because see, if you don't understand how it works, you'll be turning off the thing that works for you. I ain't paying no attention. I don't bring no paper. I'm just here, man. That's why we ain't going nowhere. That's why we've been in this same position 10, 15 years. Because I keep turning him off, trying to wait for him to help. Not knowing the help was already in the preacher. It was in the pattern that the Lord prepared to help you. So the sower went forth to sow. That's Jesus through the word of God. The word is being sown. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. You got the word in your lap. Jesus sitting in your lap. I know he's on the inside. Come on, somebody. Don't get spiritual on me. You better know every aspect of him. Because if ain't no sense in him, if he in there and can't get out, what good is that? You ain't living right, won't do right, won't act right. He in there, but he can't get out. So thank God he on your lap. At least if you drop him, you'll know I'm missing something. Because you walking around with him and still won't comply. So now, Jesus is on your lap. The word. So now the word is being preached. I'm telling you all the time, what? Turn to your Bible. It's in the scripture. So now that's Jesus talking. But now it's the Holy Ghost that got to convict you. See, you waiting on the preacher to say something to convict you. That ain't my job. My job is to preach the gospel. It's the Holy Ghost that's going to convict you. The Holy Ghost is the one that sits there and wrestles with your philosophy. He reveals to you the very heart of God. I'm just to reveal to you the word of God. And the Holy Ghost gives you illumination. See, my job is not to give you information. It's to give you an impartation. I'm going to impart into you the will of God. But the Holy Ghost got to give you illumination. Turn the lights on. I love this concept when I heard it because it sounded so good. It's like a blind man who's in a house. He already know everything that's in his house. He knows where it's at. He knows how to get there. He knows how to, amen. But now watch this. When he comes into the house, he can get around real good. And it's dark. If he leave them lights out, if I come in the house, I'm knocking stuff down. I'm knocking over. So, excuse me, man, come on, doc. Give me, help me. Because I can't see nothing because he's got a revelation. Of where everything's at in that house. Because he already know how to walk in the dark. But I need some illumination. Oh, come on. I need the lights to come on. Now when the light come on, by my illumination, I get to see his revelation. I know where the stuff at now. He knew where it was when it was dark. But I didn't have no illumination of the darkness. See, you can have sight, but no light.
All right.
Oh, come on, church. I'm here to help you. You can be walking around a Christian and still lost because there's no illumination. I need somebody to help turn the lights on up in here. That's why he said, those that have ears to hear. I know you got ears, but I don't know if you can hear by the Spirit. You just hear what I'm saying. But can you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for your house, for your life, for your wife, for your children, for your future? That's why you need a preacher. Why do I need a preacher? I can know how to read. I can teach myself at home. That's why you're still at home with your mom and them. Because you ain't got no illumination. You don't know how to get out the house. Y'all. Watch this. See, in this paying attention, there's two O's you got to understand. One is you got to be open. See, that's why I love the Lord. He blessed me this morning. I made a pickup because even when she began to hit the tambourines, I know I love the Lord like I know him. I know I can preach the gospel according to the grace like he gave me, but I didn't know it was something in me that would respond to them tambourines. And when she started to preach and hitting them tambourines, I started getting happy. Why? Because I wasn't fixed on, this is just how I do it. She can hit them tambourines all she want. You know, your leg is, but I'm not going to move. I'm not going to respond because this is who I am. That's not. You got to be open to increase. You got to be open to revelation because you got to be open to what you don't know so he can give you what, come on somebody. So when she started hitting the tambourine, I had an increase. Yeah. I realized I like that too. So we got to get a tambourine minister here. Come on, somebody. I want everything God got for me. I want to grow to every level of my ability. I don't want to die short of nothing without the grace of God. So I want them to hit the tambourines every now and then. See what that do for me. See what that bring out of me.
Amen.
I was so happy she was happy. Then Sister Janet started hitting hers. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm feeling this here. I've been to tell them, put them down, because I got to get up there. I already gave. I'm tired now. But watch this. You got to be open to what God wants to do in your life. But not only do you got to be open, you got to be obedient. See, some of us ain't obedient. The reason why we still where we at is because the level of our maturity. We won't allow God to teach us. We won't allow God to help us. We won't allow God to show us anything new, because we already saying within ourselves, I am somebody. I am spiritual. I am mature. I am. And you don't realize you're not what you am. You just am what you was from your last growth. If that makes any sense. I'm throwing it around. I'll pick it back up. But you just am from your last growth. So you can't live at am no more. Because as you get older, your am got to get bigger. That's why Popeye says, I am what I am. He left room for another am. Don't just start my am. Now that means we through. That means that's all I'm going to get. That means I shouldn't expect no more for you. No, I'm in trouble if that's all you am. At least let's pray and I can believe God to get you some more am. Because we got a long way to go. But if this all you am, we in trouble. But God is opening the door for our ability to show our maturity. Can I help you? I'm just going to give you these right now. I'm going to preach them later. I'll develop them later on. But I just want to give them to you because we're talking about paying attention. And in order for you to be able to grow, you got to pay attention. And you got to pay attention by discovering your own inabilities, not your own abilities. Can I help somebody really right here? See, let's get rid of all your degrees and all that. You still got them. Because as he increased, I must. Now, you know you can't say that backwards because it won't work. I love revelation. I love to talk like God. Because see, if you say it backwards, it changes the context of what you're saying. I must decrease so he can increase. But he must increase so I can. Now, who you think you are? See, you got to watch what you're saying. Because some people talk to you and they talk above you. They talk at you. You have to listen to how they approach you. Because really they signify, it's like that signifying monkey. That, I don't know where that came to my mind. But they signifying. But we're not messing with that one. That's another message. But listen, they signify something when they approach you. Because they saying something to you as if you're less than who you are. So it's a canto finale. It's a thinking light and little when you approach me. Because how can you even say that to me if you considered me? All right. I did consider you, and that's why I said it. Now you just help me to see how you see me. Because if you ever see me wrong, you won't see me right. That's why some people can talk to other people all kind of ways. Why? Because I never saw you right. Remember I told you a long time ago, that's how women got all messed up. How did we become less than the man? When we both got here, come on somebody, by the same method, same God, and he anointed us with the same grace, but yet I came out shorter. I don't make as much money as you. I don't get the same respect as you, even if I get the same job by the mercies of God. Y'all ain't gonna treat me the same. Why? Because you don't see me right. As if I got to do some extra tricks to get your respect. Because that's your perception of me. Amen? Watch this. Your ability, can I get this to you? Go to Romans chapter 10. See, we're talking about the ability to walk with God. The ability to cooperate with God is going to depend or swing on your level of your maturity. See, some of us got great potential in us, but we're immature. So it looks like you're not really capable of being who God ordained and designed you to be, but it's because of your refusal to comply, that limits you, and now you're wasting time. You got your slots, you're doing what you're doing, you got your, but because of your immaturity, you're wasting time. And now when you want to get serious, the job, the mood. They use different tools now. The requirement is the same position is not even open now. Because you refused to move when God was talking to you. Now you want, it's like a phone call. When the phone rings, what do? It's your choice to answer. You don't answer. Y'all know y'all don't answer. When I call y'all, y'all look at my name and say, nah, we'll do that in a little while. So it's your choice to answer. Amen? That's the liberty of having a phone. I ain't got to answer, but I don't want to. But it's your choice to answer. But now the only thing about answering and not answering, if you don't answer, you lose the opportunity to answer. Now you got to do what's called a callback. Now the foot is in the... Now I looked at your number, and I don't want to answer. Now we ain't going to talk because neither one of us going to answer. Amen? But the point at hand is you can't answer God when you want to. You got to answer the phone when he calls. See, the reason why we're missing opportunities and we behind the ball is because we want to answer when we want to. And now we find ourselves losing opportunities, going through things, or we going through things unnecessary only because I refuse to answer. And watch this, when he calls, there's the potential of grace to be available to get something done. But if you try to do it without him helping you, it's going to cost you something now. Whereas if you'd answer the phone, there was some favor and grace involved, it wouldn't have cost you nothing. Just your simple obedience to comply with whatever the individual wanted to get done. But when you refuse to call and you say, I'm not going to answer, whatever got to get done going to cost you now. Amen? Are you in Romans chapter 10? Y'all know the text. But listen, God by his grace is already preparing us. Just like, and see, this is so powerful to me. Because I'm learning that simplicity is the key to revelation. It's not the depth, because I'm mature now. Boy, that's powerful. It's not the depth, it's the simplicity now that makes the revelation powerful. I thought it was going to be a whole lot more than, that's all it is. That's all it was. And that's not just all it is. That's all it was. You the one went through all that. It didn't take all that. It was just simple obedience. Now you got 8 messages on trying to do what he just told you to do. Because it was just simple obedience. And I learned something. You know, people who don't want to do what God say, they always get creative of how to do something else. You know, lazy people are the most creative people we got. No. Because when they don't want to work, they think of ways how not to work. They'll come up with ways how. And it was more simple to just do the work. But because they don't want to work, man, they sitting up there creating ideals and coming up with new kinds. I'm not saying it's bad, because it works on some aspects in terms of entrepreneurship. But the other side of that is you lazy. And you don't want to do what you're supposed to do. So you come up with 9 other ways to do what somebody told you you should have got done. And you think they're wrestling with your creativity. Romans chapter, y'all don't look at me like that now. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. We already look at it. It says right here. So then faith comes by and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes. Verily their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know first? Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation, I will anger you. Watch this. So faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word. See, you need the word. Because it ain't got nothing to do with your hearing. It has everything to do with your faith. So faith comes by hearing. Watch this. You can have enough faith to believe something but not have enough faith to act on what you believe. God could have said something to you and told you to do something. You believed that word. You got excited about that word. But you didn't have enough faith to act on what you got excited about. That's why they sell them infant commercials at night. Because they know you're going to get excited about that. But you ain't going to do nothing them things say. Buy this so you can become that, do that. You'll spend all that money, that thing will sit there and look at you. Because you had faith to do it when you heard it. But you didn't have no faith to act on what you heard. So listen, faith comes, but faith goes. So now, if God told you to do something, this is a principle. Whatever word I heard when he told me, that's the word I got to keep hearing to comply. Because there's more faith in what he said. I just got enough out of it or extracted enough to believe it, but I didn't get enough to act on it. So I got to keep riding around and listening so my faith can come to do. Is it? Let's go this other way. God is teaching us, showing us, and challenging us on how to get to your next level. We believe what he's saying. We get excited, but I have not done nothing yet. So in order for me to get to my next level, I got to get that faith that stirred me up. So how do I get the faith that stirred me up? I got to put the tape back in, the CD that encouraged me to believe. Because right after my believing, once I hear that again, oh God, that's it, that's it, that's. But even when I hear it again, I hear something that I didn't hear the first time. And what I hear the second time is the faith that's going to make me act on what I heard the first time. And if I keep listening to it, boy, I'm finna give somebody something. Y'all should have gave me an offering or something right here. Watch this. If I keep listening to it, I go from belief to faith. If I keep listening to it, I go from faith to confidence. Now I'm confident to do what I heard, what I believed I was said I was going to do. Now I'm confident to do what my faith said I'm going to step out and do. Now I got confidence to do it. But not only do I leave from belief, not only do I go to faith, not only do I go to confidence, now I go to Romans chapter 4, verse 21, and being fully persuaded. This is what I'm supposed to do. But see, I got to get my faith. See, the Bible says, how can they believe except they hear? And how can they hear except they get a preacher? See, I'm here to bring your, to build your belief up so that you can walk in your faith. The preacher's job is only to get you to believe what you say you believe. Because you can say you believe it, but never act on it. It don't look like you believe. So you need a preacher to help you believe in what you say you believe in. Come on, somebody, give him a praise. Listen. Your promotion is right behind this principle. It ain't revelation. It's simplicity of a revelation. Have you ever been a salesman? And so you can sell something and then outsell it. You convinced the person to buy it, but you kept talking. And now they don't want it. They just want to get out of here. Well, the same thing can happen with revelation. You can get it, but because you don't know you got it, you keep digging. And now you don't come up with nothing. It's the simplicity of the revelation that makes it real. So he says right here, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, I'm going to give you these 10. This is a good to me, because this is good for you. It's good to me. Amen. Listen. The level of your ability to hear from God determines the level of your maturity. I don't care how spiritual you think you are. Can you hear from God? You say, well, how do God talk? How am I going to hear from God? Man, you hear from God like you hearing now. See, this is what sin does. Sin separates you from God, or God will keep you from sin. See, if you want to be, if you want to cultivate your ability to hear, first you got to be obedient. Because the obedience, you got to get here Tuesday night. Because the obedience helps you understand how to keep the anointing. See, the anointing gives you the capability to communicate, respond, and do what God says you can do. But you can't do it without the anointing. And the anointing is just the amen of God on your life. It ain't for you to walk around pie-y-all and touching folk and all. That's good, but that's still God doing that through you. It ain't you doing nothing. It's God working through you only because you please him. You can't heal nothing, touch nothing, deliver nothing if you don't please him. I don't care how much you study, how long you stay in that back room. If you ain't right with God, you ain't going to come out of there with nothing but some more information. But there would be no cooperation because there was no unification. You and God are not on the same page. So you got to get to a place where you can hear from God. And it starts just by obeying God. God ain't going to even open up and talk to you. What's the sense of talking to you? You ain't going to do what I'm going to say. He said, why call me Lord, Lord, if you ain't going to? And people are not even trying to hear you when they know you're not doing what God said. Don't insult my intelligence. Now, even though if you don't know, God know that you ain't doing it, don't act like I don't know. At least give me the credit that I know. If you ain't going to obey, at least help me obey. So your level of your maturity is your ability to hear from God. You got to write that down now. But also the level of your ability, I mean your maturity, is your ability to trust God when things go bad. Can I help somebody? Your ability to trust God when people do you wrong. I'm going to find out how mature you are, what happens when something happens to you. Do you become God or do he still remain God? That's why God said, vengeance is mine. He didn't say revenge. See, that's what you do. That's what your soul do. Vengeance is what the Lord do on your behalf. I'm going to stand still and see the salvation of my God. No, I'm going to their house. I'm on my way because they... See, that's revenge, wrong spirit. Right fight, but wrong spirit. I'm going to trust God to do this for me. I'm going to trust God to get my wife right, get my husband right. But I'm going to get in the will of God so there's an anointing available. See, I can't be out of the will and think the will going to happen. But not only your ability to trust God when things go wrong, your ability to trust God when people do you wrong, but your ability to trust God when things mystify you. You know, when you just don't know what the heck is going on. All hell done broke loose. They just won't make no. I can't get a yes out of none of this. But I'm going to still trust God. I'm going to still obey God. I'm going to still do what God said because God can't lie. The situation can lie because it ain't really what it is. It's just what it looks like. That's why he say, call those things. I preach this gospel up in here. Call those things which be not as though they were. When are you going to talk like God? He said, let the weak say I'm strong. See, you got to put on the mind of God. So now your ability to stand in the midst of your circumstances shows your maturity. Amen. Just because you can quote scripture don't mean you're mature. Come on, somebody. Watch this. But not only your ability to yield to the will of God for your life. See, I'm going to find out how mature you are is your ability to do what God said you should be doing. Or are you going to do what you want to do?